Is it appropriate to talk about rapport in groups?
You'll find with groups that you get in a group what's called, and I think I mentioned this in Presenting Magically as well, actually, you get what are called rapport leaders. So any particular group kind of like breaks down into little segments or pockets, which form totally unconsciously. Nobody's aware that they're in a group, and they're not even aware of who they're in the group with. And each of those groups has a rapport leader. And the rapport leader isn't aware of their rapport leader. And the other people in the group aren't aware that they're following the rapport leader. And using that peripheral vision technique that we did earlier, if you go into peripheral vision on a group, then you can see these kind of like ripples of movement. It kind of like looks like ripples of movement, like if you drop a pebble into a pond. Yeah. So you look out into the group, you can only see them in peripheral vision, because you've got to look at the group as a whole rather than individuals. And then look at where the movements start, and they're the only people that you need to build rapport with. Because if you build rapport with the group leader, you get rapport with the entire group. So in a group this size, for instance, then there might be four or five rapport leaders. So as long as I've got rapport with those four or five rapport leaders, I've got rapport with the entire group. Though it's not as easy as it might sound, because the rapport leaders change. So they might change after you've gone out to an exercise, they might change after lunch, they might change after a tea break. So it's something you need to be working on all the time, because it's not kind of like, okay, the rapport leaders for this group are, it does change. But then all you need to do is just match and mirror some physiology whilst making eye contact with them, or even just kind of like acknowledging them, you know, smiling and they go like, ooh. And that feeling then goes like throughout everybody in their little rapport group. That's for big groups. That's the teaser that was mentioned on there. Yeah. Yes.
This is what I was thinking about earlier when the gentleman said about going into a presentation when you know there's some concern.
But yeah.
Isn't that also going in and you're projecting it? Mm. And can't you use rapport in a group the same as you can on a one-to-one? So should the presentation be a barrier?
I would say it's possible. And I'm always looking is what's the easiest way for me to stack the deck in my favor. So it's possible, and it would always be easier to deal with on a one-to-one. So I'd go for the easiest route. And it's certainly possible to do it through group rapport. Yeah. If you're not working with such a big group, then there's some interesting things that you can do. Just forward. Like, for instance, if you're like at a boardroom table, something like that, number of people sat around the table, maybe you're here. Firstly, this would be my suggestion. If you're going to do it, and let's say it's a sales meeting, but it could be any kind of meeting. If you know that you're going to be having a meeting with more than two people from the other company, always go with somebody else from your company. So always go two up. Yeah? Take somebody along with you. One of you would have to be the meeting leader. Yeah. The other person is the rapport builder. So let's say this is the leader here. They're the person who's going to ask the questions, give the information, whatever it is. This person doesn't really need to say very much at all, because what they're actually going to work on is building rapport with these people here and passing it to the rapport leader, to the sales leader, if you like, over here. So again, what you can notice is with these people here, you might notice that these three people here are already in rapport. In which case, what I'd do is I'd build rapport with one of these people first, because I'm going to get three in one go. Yeah, so I might go like, let's get rapport with them, then I'm going to get all three. Yeah. Then I might go like, okay, now I've got rapport with them, I'm going to move to get into rapport with these people. Now if I've built sufficient rapport with these people, then I shift my physiology to build rapport with this person. What's going to happen with these people here?
They'll follow,
yeah. So what happens is, they shift and get into rapport with that person. Then I pull this person here, shift to get into rapport with that person. All these four people move. And then I'm now in rapport with all these five people. Finally, what I need to do is to pass the rapport to my partner here. How would I do that? Getting a rapport with them?
Yeah.
And suddenly what happens is everybody is in rapport.
There's a danger there when you move from the group of three to get the fourth person, you break rapport with group of three.
Which would mean what? That is a possibility. And if it did happen, what would that mean?
The fourth person's out of rapport with the three.
Yeah, but what about these three people? Why didn't they come with you? You haven't got enough rapport. So what you do is you go back to build more rapport with these people. Yeah, because what you do is you only lead people as quickly as they'll come with you.
And how long does it take? You're talking like 10 minutes.
I would say less than 10 minutes. I would say in general that you can get rapport with most people with what you know from this training in 5 minutes or less. And sometimes it's like really fast. It's kind of like you just match the physiology and it's taking like 10 seconds. It's like bang, it's there. It's kind of other times it might take 5 minutes, but that, you know, that's kind of like the outside. Yeah.
How does that happen though? Because I mean, those three guys, presumably the other guys, your colleague is talking. They're focusing on the colleague, not on you.
Consciously. Yeah. But unconsciously.
But why wouldn't they then? Why wouldn't they match your colleague and not you?
Because they might not actually be focusing on getting into rapport with this person here. And they might do that. But certainly when I go into a meeting, I don't want to leave the rapport to them. I want to take over the responsibility for creating the rapport in the room. So they might do, but they might not. So consciously they're paying attention to this person. But unconsciously, their unconscious mind is actually paying attention to everything in the room. And rapport is an unconscious process. So that makes it very, very easy for this person here to get into rapport with these people. Pull them around and then pass it to here, and then the entire group goes into rapport. The interesting thing that I've actually had with that is that, you know, quite often you get like buying teams as an example. And they're not an easy buying team to deal with. Because as a buying team, they're not in rapport with each other. And what you've got here is, for the first time, you might actually be able to get the buying team into rapport with each other, as well as in rapport with you, which they'll start working more efficiently, which will make them far better disposed to you than competition, who hasn't been using rapport building technique, which is actually the majority. So although NLP's gone way, 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 way bigger than it was when I first got into it, if we were to stop 100 people in the street and ask them if they'd heard of NLP, 99 of them would say no. So it's still kind of like, you know, still a major competitive advantage. And there's still a lot of people who know about it but don't use it, which is like even crazier.
If some of the people had gone into rapport with the second person, would you need to break that rapport then to bring them with you, to bring them back?
No, if they were already in rapport with this person, I just build rapport with the people who are... This assumes that none of them are in rapport with this person here. The people who are already in rapport, just leave them as they are. Work on the people who aren't in rapport, get all the people who aren't in rapport with you, and then pass it here, and that gets... Take the path of least resistance to getting everybody in rapport. Yeah. Yeah. So that's how group rapport works with matching physiology.
When you say pass it, surely the leader should actually take it over from the person who's building...
Leader's got too much to think about.
How would you pass it over?
By this person going into rapport with this person here. Passes it over.
But wouldn't, if these two people work together all the time, wouldn't it be very easy for the leader to simply match the person he's come in with, because they would have worked together before?
The leader, if they've been trained in the stuff that I'm talking about, will have way too much to think about. And think about like, oh, it's time for me to take over the rapport now. So the agreement that I normally have is I go like, okay, I'm going to lead the meeting. Which means I'm going to elicit the strategies, I'm going to elicit the values, I'm going to do the keys to an achievable outcome for like what they want, all of that kind of stuff. So I'm focusing on that. So I don't have to think about rapport at all. This person does all the rapport, manages it all, creates it all, and hands it over to me.
How does that physical process happen, the handing over bit? That's what I understand.
By just this person here, yeah. Once he's got rapport with all these person here, yeah. Going into rapport with this person here.
Yeah, how's that physical process happen? I can understand all that, getting in rapport with all those people, but if the leader's not in rapport with the group as it stands, how did he then physically pass it across to the leader?
By going to rapport with the leader.
The leader may not be in rapport. If the leader's doing something different from the group as it stands,
yeah.
He's now matching and mirroring the group, which is different from the leader, because the leader's not in rapport with them.
Yeah, so then this person then starts to match the leader.
Well, isn't he then moving out?
And these people will follow.
Right. Okay, so it's pacing.
Yeah, so it's a pacing lead. Okay. These are all through. Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, presumably you have to go back and
draw
more
rapport. Yeah,
go right,
again. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's another thing you can do when you do in if you do presentations with two trainers or two presenters. Like you have a lead trainer, you should always have a lead trainer who's the person who's carrying the segment, and the other person just does like fill-ins, as in sharing their little pieces of information, little nuggets of whatever, but they're not leading the training, so they're not saying anything for a lot of the time. What they can then do is they can be working on the rapport leaders, building the group rapport, and passing it to the lead trainer. So the lead trainer can just get on with doing the lead training, and the co-trainer is managing the rapport in the room. Yeah, so that's a good way of actually dividing up responsibility if you co-train with somebody. Okay.
Just want to understand that a bit more. Doesn't that leave the co-trainer very limited? Because in order to build rapport, you'd use the physiology, and then all the words and predicates and tonality and what have you. But if he's not actually saying anything.
Well, remember that the physiology is 55%.
Yeah.
You can get very, very good rapport with people without saying anything to them at all. I had an experience of that when I in my and this is a good thing. I mean, the thing to do with your rapport skills is practice, experiment with it. And when I first learned the rapport stuff, I was traveling in and out of the city on the underground. I was living in South Ealing at the time, so I was on the Piccadilly line. And one of the things that I used to do to practice my rapport skills on my way home was see how many people I could get into rapport with without saying anything, just by matching their physiology. And I'd see how many people I could lead. And I got to nearly where my stop was. And I kind of thought, like, I've done my little rapport practice for the day. And I thought, I wonder if I'm going to be home at the expected time. Looked at my watch, and five other people in the carriage looked at their watch at the same time. But were rather confused because they weren't interested in what time it was. Three of them followed me home. And it's kind of like, it's a major learning. You can get very, very good rapport with just matching physiology, but only do it with people that you want to be in rapport with. Because I didn't really want to have them follow me home. You know? Definitely not. Yeah, that's why they didn't look at it, yeah.
If you had 8 to 10 people, what would you, and you were on your own, what would you say is the most effective way to do that?
With eight to ten people, I would do it the same way as this. Yeah. You'll still find there's little pockets of rapport, and just so you wouldn't need necessarily to do eight different. Probably you have to find you've got maybe three or four. But the group leader thing, I would say, tends to come in over 20. And you can do it all by yourself too, using the rapport leader stuff. But it can be, it can take a little bit of extra off your mind if you've got somebody else to manage it for you, like I have.